Well, I'm Brad Humphrey with Going Deeper, and today we have a special treat. This weekend conference, we had a conference called Established in Christ, and our speakers were Ron and Marcia Harvell, and they've become special for Jeannie and me. They've actually been to our church several times and have spoke in different classes here, and Jonathan and Stephanie have as well. But I want to introduce, welcome to today's podcast, folks.
Thank you.
Let me just start off with, give them a little bit background, especially your Bible studies going on in Charleston, which is kind of exciting. So, Ron, why don't you tee your wife up?
All right. Very good. Thank you all for letting us come and share a little bit about what the Lord is doing. And really, that's really the core of the heartbeat of what we're talking about. This is really the Lord's thing. It's really what God is doing and moving in us, because we are the ones that would have been the without. We would have been the ones that no one would have thought would have ever been able to even be served by the Lord, because we just didn't weren't. God just had to got to use us as the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, because they would look at these things and go, "That's a God thing." And that's what we want, him to get the glory and him to feel like we're being faithful with him, and we're getting to do this with the Lord, not just for him. And I think that's exciting for us to. And we just think, God, can we still serve? Will you let us? Can we stay in the game like we talked about yesterday? God, keep us in the. Let us keep in the game. We want to serve. We want to do things until he comes back, and where we get to go meet him face to face. However that is. And so in Marcia's journey, since we were originally married, we moved 25 times and to different locations, some of it running from the law, but most of it just military. And so she said, I would love to meet the Lord from our back porch here in Charleston whenever the Lord wants me to go visit with him. I would like for him to come back at that point or to that place. And I think that sets the stage of being all in. And she has always been all in all the things that we did and the things and where we went and what we did and the hardships of that and being able to handle that very well. And so when we left the Pentagon 3 years ago and came to Charleston Southern University to start the Dewey Center, we were hopeful that we would have a place where students could come. And so we called the president of the university. It was April of 2020. We were about to move down within 2 months, and we were going to put a bid on a house. And we asked the president of the university, I said, can faculty have students over? Because it would make a difference. Mm-hmm. Can faculty come over to our house, students' house? And the president of the university said, as many as you want, as often as you want, for as long as you want. And so that set the stage for us to begin with a handful of students who came over that we had met, and then they said, we want a Bible study on Tuesday nights, and that became 8, became 11, became 15 freshmen who were coming to our house, driving from the school to come hear God's word and to be involved in God's word. And so then that just grew, and Marcia began to teach them. She started off by saying, I'm going to teach you how to study the Bible inductively.
Yeah, and so in the fall of 2020, like I said, we had like that first Tuesday night, we had 8 students around the dining room table. Of course, it's the middle of COVID, and God is so kind. I mean, we had the president of the university knew what we were doing. We were permitted to do this. The Lord kept us super duper safe. Nobody ever got sick because they had been in our home. And so, but I just said, don't put this on social media, you know, because I didn't want the COVID task force back at the university, like being like intruding into our home. And so they said, okay, Miss Marcia, we won't do that. And so they just started inviting their friends by word of mouth. And so every week we would have new students, and out pretty soon we've outgrown the dining room table. We've outgrown the whole kitchen area. We've had to move into the living room, and then we have upper class, and it just happened to be a group of mainly freshmen. And then the upperclassmen are hearing about it, and they're like, we want Bible study. And I was like, Ron, like, people want Bible study. Like, we have to do more Bible studies. And you know, just thinking that the living room and the kitchen were full. So we started a Wednesday night Bible study. And then they start coming, bringing friends. Both of those grow. So this is just that first year. We're already having students over on Sundays after church just to come over and get to have home-cooked meal that first year. And so then when we're planning for the second year, I said, Ron, let's just be intentional and turn the Sunday Bible study also into, or the Sunday meal into Bible study. So then starting that next year, we're doing 3 Bible studies in our home every week with these university students, growing, getting bigger. By the second semester of that year, we're having to move the Tuesday night Bible study, get the cars out of the garage that's under our house, go to Costco, buy 50 chairs, and set up a teaching area in the garage. They keep bringing friends. So then last year, we still have 3 Bible studies going strong. It's still all by word of mouth. And I mean, I promise you, even on the last Bible study of the year, we will have students, it's their first time to come. And I'm telling you, this is old-fashioned Bible study. Like, this is bring your Bible, a journal, and something to write with. And they come for, like, the big Bible study when we're all together in a group is like an hour of in-depth Bible study. Last year we studied Revelation. Then they break into life groups, and I have cross-referenced passages for them to go to their small groups, and they fill up every room in our house, with the exception of our bedroom, every room in the house, in their, like, in the barn, in the garage, with men and women coming to Bible study, and they stay in those life groups for over an hour, and they're studying more of God's word, you know, praying for each other, bonding together as a group. So I'm not exaggerating any of this. These Gen Zs, 18 to 22 year olds, are coming to our home knowing they are coming for over 2 hours of in-depth Bible study. And they keep inviting their friends. And last year they were like, well, Miss Marcia, can we put it on social media now? And I said, well, I don't care as long as I don't have to mess with it. And then they just got to thinking about it and they were like, oh my goodness, this is what God has done by us just talking to our friends and sharing Jesus with them and inviting them by word of mouth to Bible study. And they were like, we don't want it on social media. Not that they didn't want lots of people to come. I love how my upperclassmen who started 4 years ago are so generous with, you know, Dr. Ron and Miss Marcia, and we call our home the Spotted Owl. They're so generous with it. We have so many new freshmen this year that have come because the upperclassmen verbally invited them. And so they're like, we don't want it on social media because God is doing this without social media. Like, what a concept.
And I need to explain where the Spotted Owl comes from, because people ask us, we refer to the house as the Spotted Owl.
Well, they're next door to a bar called the Spotted Owl.
No. And that's where it works. No, it's our bar, because we have a coffee. We have a smoothie bar.
That's right,
We have a smoothie bar. We got a cappuccino, a coffee bar. So they come and they love it, and Marcia takes care of them, and so they come, and the different, there's always something for them. One lady donated a popcorn popper, and we've got there's always something for them, and so Marcia prepares smoothies for them, and they get the Sumatran coffee, and they have, so they have a neat deal. They have wassail when it's cold, so it's they love to come, but really what they love is the fellowship of the Lord with their other folks in the class, and they love Miss Marcia, and my job mainly is to help park cars. and we thought we were going to move on to a base that had a golf course with a gated community with it, and we were looking. We had 4 houses in that neighborhood that we were looking at, and long story really short, one of the cars got backed into by another person, and when we were looking at the house. That had been drinking at 2 in the afternoon, and we thought, well, that wasn't bad because, you know, I mean, I was in it, but we thought, well, how many cars could actually be on the street? What if that would have been a student's car? It would have probably totaled one of their cars, mm-hmm. and we think we need to probably have a place that isn't gated, where you have to have everybody's name in for every week for everybody, and what would be simpler would be to have this. And so Marcia had always wanted to have a house where the driveway was at the end of the road, And that happened here. And so we're surrounded by wetlands, and there's acreage for the students to run around like nuts. And so as a result of that, I get to park cars. So there's,
yeah. And it was on Spotted Owl Lane. The house is on Spotted Owl Lane. So as we were looking for houses, we just we talk about, as we're discussing which house to buy, this house and something special about it. So, and the, we just always called that house the Spotted Owl. So it stuck, and it's a fun name now for our students. So then the last year, the beginning of the start of the third year, I was like, Ron, we have got to turn, because we have a separate barn. I'm like, we've got to turn this into a classroom. And again, I am old school. I love my very first public classroom back in 1983. So that tells you how old I am. Back in 1983, you walk into the classroom and it's a chalkboard. And so I love writing on chalkboard. So we painted one wall of the barn with chalkboard paint. And that's my visual aid. There is no PowerPoint. There's no videos, nothing. So they get to just come in to us it's a breath of fresh air for these kids, and they truly love it. And then, so we went back to Costco, bought 50 more chairs. So we, built a student helped Ron build a little raised area so that, people in the back can see easier. The students volunteer, they come in with their guitars and stuff and lead worship. And then we have the Bible study with the notes written on a chalkboard. And again, they have their Bibles, they have their journal, and you can just hear as I'm teaching, they are just furiously writing in their journals and learning God's word. And then last Tuesday night, we had 63 students in our home. And then they break into their life groups. They go all over the house. And now for the teaching that we're doing this year, they're studying the book of Mark. And every week they go through a chapter of Mark and they're observing Jesus. Who is he? How does he talk? How does he relate to people? And, the Tuesday night group, they come at 7. Last Tuesday night, it was after 10:30 before they left. And it's, I promise you it's over. Their life groups always last. Their little groups are always longer than an hour. The teaching is a good hour, by the time we worship and have a teaching. And I was like, wow, God, and this generation. So I want to encourage all of you that this Gen Z, this young generation, the godly ones who love Jesus, they are sold out. They are not ashamed of the gospel. They are very aware of the threats around our world and in our communities. And they would die for the name of Jesus. They are volunteering. So many of our students were on mission this past summer, overseas, going with GenSyn, which is the North American Mission Board, send students. They were all over in Canada, in Boston. We had our students, a church plant that is happening in Utah with the majority of our students that were sent out this past summer. And one of our girls who graduated now has stayed there working with a church as a church planner. Y'all, it is incredible. And so I just encourage you, first of all, if when the Lord sends you a 18 to 21 year old, to love them. Do not hesitate to have them into your home, to share God's word, a home cooked meal with them. The generation that is on fire for Christ, and it's huge, and it is getting bigger. And so I'm just thankful that the Lord is still letting us play ball, as 60-year-olds. And, that was Ron's and my thing. We just always have been play me, coach. Play me, coach. There is no retirement in time of war. Okay? God's word says that. And precious ones, we are in a spiritual battle. And of course, we know the end of the story. God is going to win, but there are going to be souls that will die and go spend eternity in the lake of fire. We taught Revelation last year. I know this is a fact. It's all written in the Word of God. And it's we can't quit. We can't retire and just be I'm just going to go whatever retirees do. I know I want my last breath on this planet to be Jesus loves you more than he loves your own life. He loves his own life so much so that he died for you. He became all of your junk, all of our sin, all of our transgression. He paid the price. He took the wrath of God. He paid the price so that you can become his righteousness. And I will let everyone. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, sorry.
Okay, do you need an energy drink right now?
No, I have the Holy Spirit. You talk about resurrection power. When Christ in you, the hope of glory, that Holy Spirit, that good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things that we've always done in our class, even before we started the podcast, was to bring your Bibles. I know there's a retirement age in the workforce, but you never retire from your life in Christ and all that. And these are great folks to represent that. You and I talked a little bit about that. There was a picture you gave. Did she use the same picture of the 18-year-old gal with her baby?
No.
Can you tell that story? Because the gals didn't see it. The guys did. It's just it's a wonderful story, and it's just one that shows you what can happen.
Right.
To someone as young as 18.
Right. So we were, the setting is the 9/11 had just taken place. There was a young couple who attended the chapel at Keesler Air Force Base in Mississippi where we were running the chapel there. And we had this young couple came to service, and then we saw them at an event off campus with a couple of other ladies from the group. We went they were at this theater for some reason, and they were talking about that Corey was going to have to leave and he was deploying real quickly that week to go overseas to respond to something, either something in Pakistan or Afghanistan. That's where we thought they were going, because he was going with the medical team as a security forces guy to take care of them. He had just finished his basic training as a security forces guy. And they had just gotten married. They were both from California, and they came to Mississippi. That she had gotten a job at the mall, and she had gotten their apartment together. And then he was leaving, and so the ladies asked her. They said, "Jessica, is your mom going to come visit you, or are you going to go back to see her in California?" And she says, "Well, I hope she'll visit, but I want to stay in my apartment. I've got the job, and I want to just do this." And of course, she's 18 years old. The women said, "Can we be your mom?" And she said, "Oh, I would love that. That would be great." And so she began to come to Bible studies and to life groups. And she went to this one Bible study. It was an inductive Bible study, precept upon precept. It was on the book of Deuteronomy. She probably wasn't saved. She may have just become a Christian in her life. She didn't have much of a religious background at all. But she wanted to be with the group. She wanted to be with the Bible study. But here she was in Deuteronomy with all this homework and stuff. And so she said, I just don't get this. So she sat down on a Friday in her apartment, and she read through the Bible from Genesis till she got to Deuteronomy. And she goes, "I get it. I get it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it." And so she started going to the Bible studies and learning and growing, and God just really was using her greatly. And now she was passing her husband's level of spirituality, of faith, and she was growing in the Lord and growing in the Lord. So some of the ladies were talking about, "Hey, we're going to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we're going to learn how to do these Bible studies, run these Bible studies and to be able to learn more about that." And she goes, "You can go someplace to learn how to do these Bible studies? They can teach you how to do this?" She goes, "I would do circus tricks to learn how to do those things." To be able to go. Can I go? And so they took her with her to Chattanooga, and she learned from Precept Ministries how to lead Bible studies. And subsequently, her husband, Corey, would come back. Now, most of the guys at R&R, they were gone for 7 months in that first block from when the war started. It was a seven-month deployment. And so Corey was coming back from that, and she had gotten the idea that it would be great for him when he arrives to go to Honduras to an orphanage and to be around all these people from the chapel that she'd now fall in love with, and he didn't know very well. And so he was like wanting to just spend time with her, and she was wanting him to go to Honduras and hold babies at the orphanage. And so we convinced this master sergeant that that was a great idea, and so Corey didn't have any choice. And so he did. And so God began to launch his spiritual walk as well. They soon began to have a life group and their apartment building, leading their friends to the Lord and being a part of that as we grew. And then when they left, they moved to California. They were stationed in California to at Vandenberg Air Force Base. And when they drove onto the base, they came to the chapel. They were so excited to see it. And what they found was that the chapel didn't have anything really that resembled what Keesler Air Force Base had had. It was kind of a, we checked the square. There wasn't life groups. There wasn't these kind of Bible studies that were advanced. And so she went to the chapel and she said, why don't you have anything here? This is an important base. Why doesn't the chapel have any programs? And they said, would you like to be our religious education coordinator? She's 21 years old now. And she goes, yes, I do. And so that's a wonderful story about doing circus tricks to be able to learn how to do Bible studies.
And I thought it was so sweet because it was the precept on precept Bible study that I was leading of Deuteronomy. We'd gone through Genesis, Exodus, which that'd be Deuteronomy. And that's where Jessica landed, was at the middle of Deuteronomy. But I have learned you never dissuade anybody from going to Bible study.
Amen.
I don't care where you are. God can bring them. Again, every page of this, it's all about Jesus and all about a Savior. And God can take them where they are spiritually and grow them. And so I was like, sure, Jessica, you can come start precept Bible study with me in the middle of Deuteronomy. I was like, okay, Lord, you got this. And he did. It was a miracle. It was a miracle.
I have a client in Charleston, and I told them where they wanted to go out to dinner one night. This is last year early. And I said, well, I'm actually going over to visit some friends. They said, oh, where do they live at? And I told them the address, and they said, well, that's like 3 miles from here. So they're literally about 3 or 4 miles as a crow flies from where the plant is that I work at. And the building does a lot of governmental contracts for welding, like for ships and submarines and all that. And they have a huge building. And you can literally see the roof of that miles away when you're kind of driving up. And their grandkids had seen this, going, wow, what's in that white building? And so we were able to get the kids out before they went back to Indonesia. And the kids went on tour. And they were just like this the whole time. You know, it's just wild for them. But Jeannie has seen the place. You showed me the school, the converted school room in the barn when I first met y'all out there for dinner one night, and it's incredible. I mean, it's exactly as Marcia explains it. And I think what's crazy to me is that they're making themselves available. You know, we hear people say, well, gosh, I don't know what I should do. You know what I found in Jeannie's in my life? We're just available.
Yeah.
You know, even when we had high school kids coming into our house, our kids, when they were talking about this, about how so many, and it's not just here in Granbury, it's a lot of places where a lot of young married couples that have kids in grade school, middle school, but everything surrounds the baseball team or the soccer team, and man, I get that. But, you know, it seems like when Gina and I had our kids, I mean, we just hauled them with us to the Bible studies, you know, or the kids came over to our house and they played with their kids. And so Colby and Katie grew up with these high school seniors and juniors who influenced their life. And it was just great. So we know that that works. But the biggest thing is we found is just be available.
Amen.
And for some of you in here, I mean, you know, you're going to host 63 college kids in your house. Chances that happen is probably pretty small. But maybe there's two or three people in your neighborhood or a couple of golfing buddies that just need to hang with you. And maybe they just hang for a while, and then you kind of move into something, talking about the Lord or talking about this. We started off with about 8 guys at our Bible study. Now we've got 12. We got about 12, and our 13th guy wants to start coming. I mean, you just make it available. Let the guys, in our case, let the guys just talk to other guys and let the women just talk to other women. I think that's what I was so impressed with. I mean, we hit it off quick in Maidan, and Ron really became like a brother for me. We really developed we had some kinship of spiritual ideas, didn't we?
Yeah.
And related that. Of course, I shared that with this group, and that's why we went to that first volume. I don't want to hog it, and we're going to cut this off in just a few minutes, but I wanted to give you all a chance, if you had some questions or if some of the women that went yesterday, if you have something else you want Marcia to bring up or something you want to make a commentary on, but are there any questions from anybody? David?
You know, yesterday I brought up the part about asking God to reveal the what you're reading. But that was all in context, the fact that I had never seen or heard what you were explaining on how to read the scripture. And it really, what I got out of it, and I think what was intended, was that there's certain things that you're looking for as you read, not just trying to read something and understand it. And so could you talk to that for just a minute? Because that was, I'd never seen that, never heard of that.
Right. Well, Marshall, why don't you describe? There's a reason. There's a good reason for this.
Ladies
have already heard her explain the importance of inductive studies.
Yep.
And it's really the idea of seeing those particular things. Do you mind talking about that with...
So when you're reading God's Word, okay, first of all, the reason we have God's Word is to get to know God and hear the creator of the universe, the savior of your soul, has put tons of effort. God breathed, Holy Spirit inspired every word of this. It's for us to get to know him, what he thinks, how he feels, what he's doing. And so, you know, as you're reading God's word, I mean, observe God, you know, just, and so that's why, like, Ron taught the guys and I taught the women, you know, like, you know, if you want to just highlight or underline names of God and his pronouns and synonyms, and you start noticing like things that God in the Psalms, there's things that God hates.
Yeah.
There's, you know, the things that he loves, the things that bring him joy, the things that that make him sad. And so it's always important when you're reading God's word is to get to know God, because that's the reason that we have it. And then, you know, like Ron taught and I taught, you know, as you're reading a passage, you know, God, he repeats himself. He's a good, good father. And so just like a good daddy will say something over and over and over. And it's for a purpose. It's to get your attention. It's like, oh, my goodness, I've noticed the word love in this chapter over and over. I wonder, that's interesting. You know, the Holy Spirit is bringing it to your attention that there's a word or a phrase that the Lord is repeating himself on, and to just go back maybe and read it again. And, you know, if you like to mark in your Bible, that's fine. Or, you know, just at least notice, Lord, what are you wanting to teach me about this subject, this phrase or this word? And when I was taught the tools that, like, y'all were taught yesterday, guys and women, like, and then again, it was through Precept Ministries, and went to that training, it was the scales fell off of my eyes for how to read God's word and for it to not be difficult to understand. I mean, God wants, you know, a five-year-old, you know, anybody who's a reader and a hearer can listen to this or read it and understand it. You don't have to have gone to seminary. You don't, you know, have to have graduated elementary school. You can read and understand God's word, and these little tools make that easy. And so those were the things that Ron was pointing out, is just to notice as you're reading scripture, and if you notice something being repeated, or you notice God making a comparison, you know, like where he says, as newborn babes in 1 Peter, desire the pure milk of the word. Mm. So that's, you know, God created your brains. He knows how we think. And he knows that these word pictures mean something to us. As newborn babes, crave this. You know that a newborn baby, a baby, like that baby wants to eat. Okay, nothing else is going to satisfy that baby. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you crave this? Do you crave the word? Like a baby cannot go a day without milk. Like that baby is going to get very, very sick and is going to die. Okay, precious ones. God gave that illustration for a purpose. Like newborn babes, crave this. Like your spiritual walk, your growth in the Lord. You're like, oh, I want to grow in the Lord. How much time every day are you reading this, studying it, memorizing it, thinking about it, meditating it on it day and night, like we saw in Psalms 1 yesterday? I mean, this is it's like it's a baby. Yeah, like with a baby, it's not an option. Like you don't decide just not to feed your baby one day. Like that baby has to feed many times a day, morning and night. I will meditate on your words, O Lord, day and night, so that when I wake up in the middle of the night and my mind wants to go to a care, a worry, like scripture. I have scripture in my soul, in my heart, in my mind that immediately come to my brain. So I'm meditating on that instead of the worries that worrying about it's not going to change anything anyway. Mm-hmm. Meditating on God's word changes everything.
The precepts, I know, is where a lot of that came
yes.
from. I got some of that same teaching through Navigators when I was
yeah.
in Nebraska, you know, going to school. But one of the things that I think is important, one of the things you brought up yesterday, which maybe the gals talked about it too, and I'd heard this before, there are a lot of people that don't like to write in their Bibles. It's kind of like it was given to them by a parent or a grandparent, and they just don't want to mess it up. Well, okay, if that's the way you feel, that's fine. And Ron made a great example of if you have a Bible, you don't like writing in the Bible, some people don't, make copies of the passages, you know, where you can scribble on it mm-hmm. and make it. My grandmother, we used to call her Bible the Rainbow Bible before they actually came out with one called the Rainbow Bible. But because Grandma Ethel had underlined and highlighted mm-hmm. so many different colors and highlighted, you know, this was back in the 60s, you know, and so she really gave, you know, she gave my mom a hunger for the word when she was, my mom was mm-hmm. growing up, but I got to know my grandmother before she died, and she was such a godly woman. She loved to study, and so I've got her Bible, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just great.
That's a treasure.
Yeah. Deb?
Well, you gave us a sheet yesterday that had, to David's question there, about what to look for.
Yeah, can
right,
we share
right.
those?
And the guys have it.
I was going to make copies. Can
yeah.
we share that with
yeah.
the team?
And if you'll remember, women, that Karen Yarnell and I did a kind of an expanded thing on this a few months ago on how to study your Bible. So
yeah.
grab that thing out and show
yeah.
your husbands. But,
yeah.
And maybe we can get copies of that.
For the class,
sure.
Yeah.
There was. I need to close this out. But first of all, thank you. You know that we're not done with each other today yet. I know, but it's been really special. And this started early this year, maybe late last year when I got that first volume, and then this group. This was the guinea pig team. This was Mark. Mark was so excited. He said, well, you know, you guys in PTL, you guys love to do something new and different
because yeah.
we host the podcast and they host it. You know, they provided that for us.
That's
to do
so cool.
that. But this is the team that started out. Yesterday before we broke, if you remember, the last thing I asked everybody to do was just look around the room. And so we had, what was the final, 60-ish, 50 to 60 or a little bit more than that. It was a great time. We came back together. But the reason I had y'all look around, because I wanted you to note, this is the. We don't need a size bigger than that group to set a fire off
that's
in this
right.
church.
That's right. Amen.
That's
yeah.
what we're called to do.
Amen.
right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's wonderful.
Malcolm, we're glad you finally got here. Glad you woke up.
That's neat.
Hope you had a full good breakfast.
I had. Lord,
I know you did. I know. So you're not coming over for lunch now, I can tell. You're full. Could you come up and do us the honor of closing out in prayer?
Sure.
As we close out for the day. Thank you.
And I've just got to say, I appreciate the way you described how to read the Bible and what Jesus did, and I fully affirm that myself. And you don't have to have a seminary degree to do that.
No.
That's right.
But if you're going to be in the ministry, you probably need one.
Great. That's great.
Father, we thank you for all of your gifts. We thank you especially for your word and for your spirit to help us to interpret the word properly.
Amen.
And so, Lord, I pray that you will take these devotions that have been written and put out so to help people pray. Lord, our brother asked for 1 billion souls. I pray you'll answer his
Thanks
prayer.
Jesus.
Lord, we need a revival
Amen.
in our own hearts, in this nation, and around the world. And I pray you'll send it. We thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord,
Jesus.
You will help us to be found faithful to always reading your word, praying your word, hearing your word, believing it and being transformed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.